Like to turn your attention to 1 Timothy, the third chapter. And verse number 16. Back, start at verse number 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave. Behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar or support and the ground of truth. So this place is the support or the pillar of all truth. And we need to know how to behave ourselves in the house of the Lord. And that's not like Brother Moran said, folding our hands and bowing our head and being quiet. We need to respond to God's love. Amen. Verse 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. God, not his son. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. Amen. You know, the first rapture happened 2,000 years ago. It was his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his rapture. And we need to have our death, our burial, our resurrection, and our rapture. We're going to go the same way that Jesus went. Because we're Christ-like. Lord, we ask your blessing, your touch upon the Word of God. Allow it to go forth unhindered. Anoint it. Anoint all the ears and hearts within the sound of this voice. And God will give you the praise and the glory. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like you to turn to 1 John, the third chapter, please. First John chapter 3, verse number 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Everyone that believes I'm going to the rapture, I'll tell you what, we need to purify ourselves. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses all the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. So we know that God was manifest or made in the flesh for one purpose, to take away all of our sins. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. And ye know that he, Jesus, was manifested, and the word manifested means to render apparent, to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. So whenever you see the manifestation, what it's really saying is to render apparent or make aware. There's a whole lot of people that know about God, but they've never really encountered him or made aware of how real God is. God was manifested in the flesh or rendered apparent to take away our sins. Amen. But after Calvary, the manifestation of God is not in the flesh anymore, so people have a hard time locating God. And they're wondering, God, are you out there? Are you around here? Feel after him. He's not far from any one of us, according to Acts the 17th chapter. Yet God is just as apparent today as he was when he was walking the shores of Galilee. You just need to know what to look for. Take a look at Psalms chapter 132. Psalms chapter 132 and verse number 13, it says, "For the Lord hath chosen Zion, he hath desired it for his habitation." Now, the word Zion here means the Jewish church or us today. The Lord hath chosen the church today, he hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her, that's us, provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation. And you know that you are the priests of God. And her saints shall shout aloud for joy. So he desires to have a habitation so he can point to the world, that's me, that's me, that's me right there. Amen. Because people need to be able to see God in an apparent manner. I mean, how many of us have had people walk up to us in a grocery store or at a filling station or someplace, say, "Hey, what church do you go to?" What they're recognizing is the habitation of God. They're seeing something that they have never seen before. And we need to be that habitation. So according to the scripture, God desires a place of habitation, a place to dwell, a place to rest. "For I have desired it," he said, "a house among his people, a sanctified place that he could put his name on and dwell in," that's us, not just a building. Without his presence, God is not an absentee landlord. He's got to occupy something on this earth. He didn't create it. He didn't die for us and then just leave us absent. David said in Psalms 132 and 1, "For the Lord hath chosen Zion for his habitation." If you'll turn to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the priests of just men made perfect." So when people come into this place, they're coming to a habitation or a place that God has made very apparent. Amen. Amen. That's what we are. Amen. God spoke to Moses in Exodus 25 and 8. He said, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." The house was to be a form of manifestation so people could locate God. Amen. Where am I going to find God? Well, there's a temple. And now God's saying, you know what? That was all Old Testament. New Testament says, you know what? I need to have portable temples so we can move the temples among the people and somehow God can be a parent to everybody. Parent to somebody on the job, a parent to somebody in school, a parent to somebody in the grocery store. A place where people could interact with God. Did you know God's first temple or house had skin? That's right, badger skins. And the second temple was Solomon's temple of precious gold and solid pillars, both manifestations where God took up residency were shadows and types of the temple to come, Jesus, a temple of skin and of precious gold. So he progressed, and now his progression is not in temples made with hands, but it's in people. So he can be a parent. You're a little different. Well, God will stand out in this world, folks. Jesus said in John 2 and 19, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up." Man can build great church buildings, and I've been in some cathedrals around this world that are absolutely magnificent, but a building without the Spirit of God, well, it's just another building. And that's why we emphasize the importance of receiving the Holy Ghost, because the Spirit of God is what makes us the house of God. You see, God bought us at Calvary, and on the day of Pentecost, he just moved in. He's saying, you're my house. I'm going to move in, and I'm going to demonstrate to the entire world that I'm alive. Amen. Amen. Would you take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter? Second Corinthians chapter 6, and starting in verse number 16, Paul is saying to the church at Corinth, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? So he's saying, we're the temple of God. For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So the blessings and the anointing is conditional based on how clean do you keep the temple. Amen. We're the temple. What alliance, what agreement do we have with others who do not have the Spirit of God within them? We can't be a sanctuary if we touch the unclean thing. That, in fact, that's what God was telling us this morning. He said, why are you going some places? Why are you buying some things? Do you not understand that we're a peculiar, we're an exclusive people? You are my house. Revelation 21 and verse number 3, it says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. So we have come a long ways from a canvas badger skin temple out in the wilderness to Solomon's temple to what we are today. That's really God's desire from the very beginning. Now listen, there's not any place that God is not. He is all around us, all the time, wherever we go. We can't get away from God. From the deepest part of the ocean to the surface of the moon, God's always there. I felt the presence of God at 32,000 feet up in an airplane. But there are special manifestations of God's presence, and that's why when God spoke to Moses from the burning bush, as soon as Moses approached the bush, God's voice said, now take off your shoes, the place you are standing is holy. So what I want you to understand tonight is this is a holy place because it's a place where God's Spirit is manifest. Amen. And we have to respect this place like no other place. And for the most part, we do. We worship around this altar. We pray around this altar. We pray for individuals around this altar, but this is not a social place. This is holy ground. And the reason it's holy is because God manifested his Spirit in this place. The reason you are holy is because God has manifested his presence in you. Be ye holy, for I am holy. If there's a holy God that is inside of us, he's not going to take up residency in something that's a ghetto, you know? And he has a right as landlord and owners of the temple to live inside us and expect us to respect the house of God as well as the place where we gather. And that's why, you know, when I was a kid, I was in a denominational church, and you know what? If I cough, my mother's looking at me like, you know, I know we have some liberty here, and thank God we have the liberty, but the main thing is to respect this house. Respect this house and respect this house. You're not your own, folks. Amen, amen. Why was it holy? Because it was where God's manifestation was present. There is a difference from God's unmanifested state and when he chooses to manifest his presence to us. And it's a wonderful thing. And I know most every one of us have experienced this. When we're not even thinking about God sometimes, we're just doing what we have to do in order to live life, and all of a sudden we feel the presence of God. Now, we're standing on holy ground. God is allowing us to feel his manifestation, his power, his presence, and that's just an awesome thing. Not everybody on the face of the earth feels that. Notice the difference when we gather for service and suddenly God moves down a few pews and begins to manifest himself to us. Have you ever broke out, started to cry, tears streaming down your face, and you don't even know why? Well, that's the manifestation of God's Spirit on you. It's God breathing on your neck. It's God touching your arm, raising your hands, and all of a sudden they're shaking. Denominational churches don't understand that because they don't have the holy ground. There is not a manifestation of God's Spirit. But when we have that opportunity to get in touch with God, let's take full advantage of it. Hallelujah. You know, Brother Poplowski told me, you know, it's just so different. You know, we have like two songs, and then we go on with the rest of it. And he said, I'm just not used to that. You know, I know there's truth there, but you know what? We need to make a big deal. Jesus is in the house. Make a big deal. God is in all places at all times, but he exists in two states. Unmanifested and manifested, or rendered very apparent, or not apparent at all. Doesn't mean he's not there, but he just hasn't manifested himself. Solomon said when he dedicated the temple, "The house I built for you, will God indeed dwell in a house, seeing that the heaven and the heavens of heaven cannot contain thee?" I mean, really, we did our best here, but I mean, it's a futile attempt to house God, because God is so great. Will God be contained in a box called an Ark of the Covenant? Will his presence be contained between two angels bending over the mercy seat? Yet God said, "I'll meet you at the mercy seat. There will I commune with you." And where God manifests himself now becomes holy, not because of an ark, but because his presence is there. And I don't want to beat a dead horse, but we have to understand the privilege that we have when God starts to reveal himself. It's those little testimonies like Brother Brown and how he got his job, and then the incredible testimonies of Sister Berg getting a clean bill of health from stage 4 cancer, and all of the little things and situations that are set up. I said Wednesday night that last Wednesday there was a lady that was singing this old song that we used to sing in the 60s, Earth Angel, Earth Angel. And then I came to the pulpit and I preached on Earth Angels. And what was happening? Well, God was just showing somebody how I'm controlling this thing. It's not you. I'm in control. Now, if God can control this, he can control other things. I always use this story in my Bible studies. When I first came into the church, I think I was in the church for 6 months, and all of a sudden the pastor came up to me, put his hand on my shoulder, and said, I want you to open the service like Brother Portman did tonight. And I thought, man, I'm very inadequate in this whole thing. And so I did, and I didn't think I did a very good job. And I thought, if he ever asks me again, I'm going to be prepared, you know. Write out my script and figure out what song I'm going to start. And from time to time he did. And about a year later, my secretary walked into my office and gave me this poem about footsteps and how God is always there for you when you don't think he is. And I was so impressed with it, I took it and I put it in my pocket, you know. And it was a Wednesday, and I thought, you know, if my pastor asked me to open up the service, I'm going to just read this. This is just so neat. And so I got to church, and he asked somebody else to open the service. And the guy who opened the service took out of his pocket this poem, Footsteps, and started to read it. And you know, God was showing me, you don't understand. I'm in control here. It's my manifestation. You know, a lot of times you say the things that you say and you think that they're your thoughts, and they're not your thoughts at all. It's God streaming through a mind that is open. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see, when you walked in here tonight, God was already here. Some people get the misunderstanding that until you feel the presence of God, God isn't here. But after we started worshiping, he began to manifest himself to us, and now this place becomes holy, which is scary for some and uncomfortable for others. It is the process of changing a building into a temple. A couple years ago, we went to Mayo Clinic, and they had these little signs that said chapel, you know. And so my wife had an appointment. We had some time, and so we found our way to the chapel. Well, the chapel was about twice as big as this, and every inch of it was covered in marble. I mean, marble pillars and all these carvings. I mean, it was absolutely incredible, and it was absolutely cold. Because of all of the millions of dollars that were spent to build that place, you know, God said, I'd rather dwell in the least saint in the church, the one who doesn't think they have any value at all. That is what my ultimate goal is. Amen. Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. Amen. And sometimes I wish I just would like to shake his hand or hug his neck and, you know, listen to him preach a little bit. But, you know, that would only be temporal, and I could probably only get to him every once in a while. But now I have access to him in the middle of the night. Amen. I can have him all by myself. We read in 1 Timothy 3:16, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. What is godliness? It is God being enshrined in humanity. That's what godliness is. The opposite of godliness is iniquity, which is man trying to be God or running his life by himself. God was revealed in the flesh. God became what he never was and never ceased to be what he always was, which is just so hard for us to understand. God is always spirit. He cannot be anything else but spirit, but he can add to himself another dimension or other revelations anytime he wants. He was a theophany in the Garden of Eden and walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. He literally took on a body, if you will. He wrestled with Jacob when he was at his lowest point, and Jacob wrestled with him and wouldn't let him go. It was a theophany or a manifestation, and it was the same manifestation that showed up at Bethlehem. It's the same manifestation that we will see when we get to heaven. David said, I'm going to see him for myself with my own eyes. It'll be the same. John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Why? Because when we do this, God then manifests himself to us. Until you get to that place, if you want to just sit there like this, God is saying, okay, look for me, but you're not going to find me. But when you get the hands up and you start worshiping God, you don't have to look very far. You can just feel after him and he's going to be there. And what a wonderful thing that is, because you can't call up the pastor, we got to have church tonight because I got a real problem. No, all you have to do is start worshiping God and he shows up. God is always spirit, but he can show up as water or a rock, as he did in the wilderness. And that rock was Christ in 1 Corinthians 10:4. He can show up as manna coming down from heaven. And he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. Or a pillar of fire. He is manifested in different ways, but he is always spirit revealing himself. And what God really wants to do is reveal himself to you more and more and more. And if you would just take the time and really dig into the Word of God, you'll find that God will manifest himself through the Word of God in a way that you can't even imagine. So deep is his Word. He wants to show you, look what I did here. Look who I was here in all of the prophets of the Old Testament. Hallelujah. God has a whole wardrobe that he can put on anytime he wants in order to show us, I'm here. I'm here. Colossians 1:15 tells us, who is the image of the invisible God? We can't see God except for his manifestation. It's like John 3:8 tells us, we can't see the wind, but we can see how it moves things and how it sounds, and so is everyone that is filled with the Spirit. And many times, that's it. You see, I don't know when it was that God showed up in the hospital room with Sister Burke. She didn't see it. But she sees the results of the manifestation of God. Somebody walks up to this altar and some things change. Well, was he here? Well, I can prove it because things are different than they were. If you'll turn to Hebrews 3, please. Hebrews 3:1 says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenlies, calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence or the faith and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. So Christ is in us, we become the house, but we need to be confident or faithful and rejoicing in what we are. And he continues to manifest. We are his house. I am the house of God where he manifests himself to the world. His house shouldn't look like a ghetto. You know, there are those who purport, come as you are, stay as you are. It really doesn't matter. God looks in the heart. No, that's just not true. Because some say he doesn't care. They're wrong. God will move in a shack, but then he immediately starts a remodel. Because he's not going to live in a shack forever, you know. There's a lot of us that didn't look very good when we found God, but all of a sudden he started a remodel project that cost him a lot. Because it is a revelation of himself. We are a demonstration or a manifestation to the rest of the world of who Jesus Christ really is. We are his ambassadors. We are the ones who represent God, and we need to represent him at the highest level that we possibly can. I thank God this church dresses the way we do when we come into this place out of respect to God, because we're in a holy place, standing on holy ground. But Christ as a son or flesh over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence or faith and the rejoicing of the hope until the end. When people start to back away from God, the first thing that happens is the rejoicing of the hope is gone. Man, the service is taking a long time. Honey, where are we going to go eat after service? We get to the place where, you know, I'm just too tired. Then what happens is the manifestation of God backs away from us, and all of a sudden, the joy isn't there any longer. And we're wondering, where did God go? No, God is always here. But he's not revealing himself to people who really don't care that much about him. You won't live for him. You don't look like you represent him. And you're not feeling after him anymore like you used to, remember? Please understand that two worlds want to occupy the same house. The question is, who am I going to unlock the door for? The bottom line is this: God is interested in the building a house that's you and me, a house that will magnify him, a house that will manifest his presence, a house that will bring glory to him. Hebrews 3:3 said, he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. So God gets more honor than we will, even though God is living inside of us. And there are some who mess up thinking, hey, look at me. Look at my ministry. Look how many years I've been faithful to God. You know what? That means nothing, because it's the one who built the house that needs to get the glory, you see. He who built my house needs to get a lot more glory than I do. If somebody had ever get to the place where they say, wonderful preaching, wonderful pastor, well, it's him. It's him. It's not me. I'm nothing. I've come so far, and I don't even know how God did it. There's nothing wrong with someone admiring your walk with God or your worship or your service to God and teaching and ministering, but when the compliments come, we better turn them over to God, or we'll be eating grass. Oh, I'm just a house that you bought and remodeled. If you like the house, you ought to see the architect. Whew. What an owner. What a landlord. And I, out of respect to him, I keep this thing spotless. I don't entertain some things that other people would. I want to keep this place spotless. I was a shack on the wrong side of town. I was involved in drugs and immorality and drunk. My house was falling apart, but God went on a journey into the slums of humanity. A treasure hunt for trash. To transform trash into treasure, because God wanted a house and he wanted me to be the ambassador to the rest of this world to let them know, hey, there's a God that's alive. There's a God that still does those things in the Bible. I tell you what, as years ago I had an insurance agency, and we insured more churches than any other agency in the state because that's where my desire was. But I couldn't believe how many churches just didn't believe the whole Word of God. Baptists who didn't believe in baptism. You know? Churches that, well, that was way back then. They don't do that anymore. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They shall speak with new tongues. The gifts of the Spirit are still in operation today. God wants to manifest Himself through the gifts of the Spirit over and over again. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." This body starts to fall apart. And that's probably a good thing. You know? Because you recognize this is not permanent residence. This is just a dressing room. We're just putting on temporary robes. But one day, and I believe it's sooner than we think, we're going to hear a sound from heaven. And God's going to call us home. Listen, heaven is not our goal. Heaven is our destiny. To be like Christ is our goal. So we can reach the goal here before we ever get to the destiny, which is heaven. Now, don't take this wrong, but if you have the Holy Ghost, you have become the earthly flesh house of God. You have a biblical right to say, "I am God manifested in the flesh in a very small measure." Because as God was God and man, Jesus was God and man, so we are Christ-like, so there's a part of us that's God. God is in there. You know, like I said Wednesday night, the six-year-old who just got the Holy Ghost, "God, are you in there?" "Yes, I am." Sometimes we forget. We're trying to get a hold of God, and God is inside of us. Hallelujah. And Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead bodily, you see, yet we only have a measure of His Spirit. Colossians 3:15 tells us we are the body of Christ. We are the temple of God, His sanctuary, which He desires to make His habitation. God left this earth in bodily form, but He still needs some way to manifest to the rest of the world that He's alive and He is doing well. We are His arms and we are His mouth. We are a demonstration of who God is. Amen. Behold the body of Christ. Amen. And that's not arrogance. It's just truth. And every one of us has that same manifestation within us. Thank God. We need to understand that. Did you say we were perfect? No. Or we are almighty? No. All wise or all powerful? But we are still the best that God has to offer for this earth. And if that weren't the case, then when we were baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, God should have sucked us out of this world because there's no intelligent life down here. But He left us here for a witness, as an ambassador, and it does make a difference how we look and how clean we stay. Godliness is God manifested in us. Church, we are God's headquarter operation here on this planet. Amen. And we're the cop on the corner. We're the doctor in the hospital. We give direction to people. We tell them how they can be healed. We are the counselors. Because we're everything that God was, He has given us the power in order to do that, to manifest His presence to those who have never felt the presence of God. We are His epistles, seen and read of all men. We have an answer for the hope that is within us. We need to open our mouth. What was said this morning was so absolutely incredible. And we just need to bring it to the forefront. We cannot be comfortable with where we are. We have to get out as God's ambassadors and share the manifestation of God. In those first few years that I came into the church, every living soul that came around me, I was attacking and saying, hey, do you know about Jesus? I was so overwhelmed. But you get involved in the business of this world and life and even the church. Well, I teach Sunday school. No. First of all, we're a witness. Amen. So how's your house doing? Amen. I got somebody painting my house right now. Hopefully before it snows, they'll be finished. But it's amazing that over the years, house needs some upkeep. And you can do that maintenance on your knees, or in song service, or all alone in your home. And God can do a little remodeling anytime he wants. Does it reflect what God really is? We're not only standing on holy ground tonight, we are holy ground. Amen. And you know, troubles come, but the Bible says, touch not mine anointed. You don't understand what great value we really are. Back off. Back off trouble. Back off sickness. You know? God, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Amen. We need to estimate the value. Some of us live in houses and we don't even know what the value is. And so if you go to the bank to get a loan, you have to have somebody called an appraiser come in and appraise the value of your house. Over the years, houses have diminished in their value. But before you decide that you're no longer going to live for God or some of these things aren't necessary anymore, I would advise you to get an appraisal from him to find out what you're really worth. I'll tell you what, the economy has not affected the value of this temple. It keeps going up and up and up because the whole world is going down, down, down. I'm glad to be in the temple of the Holy God. I'm glad I have the name of Jesus on me. Hallelujah. Keep it clean. Keep it spotless. Would you stand with me, please? Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 1972, my wife and I built a home, and it was just going to be a temporary home. And then we were filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name, and we didn't seem to have a desire for any other home. We have remodeled. We've fixed up. We've added on, and it'll probably be the house that I'll live in for the rest of my life or to the rapture of the church. And I sometimes wonder, God, what did you see in me? You know, that you take up residency in me. David said, who am I that you're mindful of me? But you know, for 4,000 years, God never took up residency in people. And God has ordained whether you're living in this day and age, the rapture age. And we're a very privileged people to be able to have God in us. And I really believe sooner than you think, we'll be flying through the air. Temples. Church is going up. Hallelujah. The altar is open. Would you come?